I'm glad you're here tonight. Thank you so much for coming. I've loved this church for a long time. It's been my privilege to come here year after year after year, and I'm certainly pleased to be here, Brother Nash. I consider it an honor to be here, and to you and your sweet wife. I want you to know I'm proud of y'all. I knew the Nashes before they had their children. I knew the Nashes before they were married, and I'm very, very proud of them, and they're doing a wonderful, wonderful job. If you get a chance, you can stop by the table. Mrs. Owens will be out there. I'll be somewhere near the table at the end of the service, but I'm not always sure where. But if you come by the table, there's something we can help you with. We'd be more than pleased to do so. There's music out there. There's things for children, things for ladies. There are books to read, CDs, MP3s, DVDs on soul winning, a little bit of everything out there. But we'd love to have you come by afterwards. I want you to take your Bible out tonight and turn to Psalm chapter 4. Psalm chapter number 4. Psalm chapter number 4. And once you find Psalm chapter 4, look at verse number 1, and I'm going to ask you, please, again, if you would stand with me for the reading of the Word of God tonight. Psalm chapter 4, starting with verse number 1, the Bible says this: "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress. Have mercy upon me and hear my prayer. O ye sons of men, how long will ye turn my glory into shame? How long will ye love vanity and seek after leasing Selah? But know that the Lord hath set apart him that is godly for himself. The Lord will hear when I call unto him. Stand in awe and sin not. Commune with your own heart upon your bed and be still, Selah." If you will, look at verse number 1 again. It says, "Hear me when I call, O God of my righteousness. Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." Let me pray for us. Father, bless us tonight. You know the type sermon that is going to be delivered. And Father, my personality surely is not enough. Everyone's human perceptions in regard to their hearing is surely not enough. But thy precious Holy Spirit can make it enough. So I pray, Father, that you would use my voice and might your Spirit guide my voice. And Father, might we listen under the influence of the Holy Spirit as well. Do something unique and special. Help us tonight. Father, as we leave here, we need your power, your strength, and your encouragement. Grant it to us tonight through thy word and thy Spirit's leading. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a seat there if you will. This psalm is a psalm of David. And in it, he said this. He said, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." David had faced many difficult times or difficult situations in his life. David, at one time, you've probably heard the story, he had to fight a lion. Another time, he had to barehanded fight a bear. He's known for the battle with Goliath. He had some issues and made some mistakes with Bathsheba. He had a child that became sick and died. David ended up eventually becoming a king that a lot of pressure involved, a lot of stress in his life because of it. His son Absalom became disloyal and turned on him. King Saul turned on David and became disloyal toward David and actually became his enemy. If you listen to all of that, and that's just a few things that David went through in his lifetime, I'm going to guess when David talked about distress, he understood distress. This isn't a distress novice. This is a distress professional. David understood distress. And he had learned that these difficulties had come to help him, not to hurt him. They came to make him better, not to make him worse. It came to make him, not necessarily break him. God was doing something for him, not to him. Do you hear what he said? He said, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." I think many times David in his life, if you heard some of those immense burdens and heartaches and challenges, I think there were times when he felt distress and was ready to send a spiritual SOS. What is distress? What does it mean by distressed? Well, that means feeling you're in a really you're in a tight spot. It means you're packed in or you're under pressure. Biblically, it means you're in a straight spot or a narrow area emotionally. In other words, there's a whole lot more going on in your emotions than your emotions feel like they have the capacity to handle. Feeling that I'm personally, I don't have the capacity to take what's on me. I don't have enough room emotionally to make it through this. I don't have enough room emotionally to take this. I don't have enough room. I don't have enough strength emotionally to survive what I'm facing right now. I can't accomplish the task that's set before me. Now, we all come to church, and when we come, we smile, and we ask each other, how was your day? And we say, it was great, we had a good day, it was a wonderful day, and we smile, and on the inside, sometimes we're wore out, wore down, and the day wasn't as good as what we give the impression, and this has been a really rough week, and if you only knew what was going on in my family right now, and if you only knew what I was going through emotionally right now, but I'm not going to tell you about it, you ask, and I'm okay. We're human, and we all go through some of that. But boy, David went through it. I mean, God led him through the Scripture to write these words, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." David said, I'm learning something, though. I'm learning that distress is God doing something for me. Now, folks, if I could get you to accept that truth, it would change your life. David was basically saying this, God, because of distress, is increasing my capacity for Him. God is stretching my potential. God is inflating my ability to succeed. God is enlarging my emotions to handle whatever comes my way. He's widening the narrow area in my life. He's loosening the tight spot in my emotions. He's increasing that tight spot. You see, David went through lots of heavy-duty distresses. And finally, David's able to say, maybe at first I didn't see it this way, he said, but after going through enough, I realized God's not trying to do something to me, God's trying to do something for me, and God is, He's actually enlarging me because of those distresses. David, you know, he had to be enlarged. You say, why? Because eventually he was going to become king. The king's got to be able to handle distresses. Distress, in other words, if you look at it right, is a blessing. Now, not always at the moment when you're distressed. But I can tell you this. Many of the distresses in my life, while I was going through it, it was a distress and I was a mess. But after I got through it and I looked back on it, I realized what was a distress and I was a mess was actually good for me. And I figured out God wasn't trying to destroy me. God was really trying to build me up. And He did it through the tool of distress. God uses the distress to enlarge your capacity to love. God can use distress to enlarge your capacity to be patient. God can use distress to enlarge your capacity of understanding and faith and the ability to lead. Hey, distress can teach you hope, and distress can help you. It enlarges your ability to bear burdens. Distress can enlarge your ability to serve, and distress can enlarge your capacity to serve Him. Hey, distress can enlarge your desire for holy living. I call the sermon, Thou Hast Enlarged Me. It's not a sermon on diet. Thou hast enlarged me. I got to thinking when I seen what David said there in Psalm chapter 4, verse number 1, "Thou hast enlarged me when I was in distress." I got to thinking about the distresses of his life. That's where I got that list at the beginning when I told you a lion, a bear, Goliath, Uriah, Bathsheba, the death of a child, he becomes the king, Absalom, his son, turns on him, Saul becomes disloyal. I got to thinking about it. I said, yes, this guy knew distress. But God used the distress to enlarge him. I'm just going to mention some things. This won't be a loud, well, I'm always loud. This won't be a bombastic sermon necessarily. I was a little more assertive and aggressive last night, but I want to help you. I want you to understand something. If God's going to use you, He'll have to enlarge your capacity some. And whether we like it or not, God has chosen to enlarge our capacity. He has chosen to enlarge our ability, and He uses the tool of distress. For instance, I think David said, "When I was in distress with my everyday duties, God was enlarging me." I got to thinking about this. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, David was a shepherd boy tending to his father's flocks. He was out there watching the sheep. You know, you could get cows and they can be rude to each other, and you can get hogs and they'll be rude to each other, but you have never looked into a field and seen sheep with their dukes up trying to fight. Sheep aren't like that. So David's out there and he's watching the sheep. And everything, you know, everything's calm. I mean, it's as calm as all. And David's out there, and man, he's got his harp. And he's under the stars and the sheep are just out there grazing. And all of a sudden, a bear comes. What a way to disrupt a good day with the sheep, with your harp singing and the birds flying and the bees buzzing. All of a sudden, David's under stress. Not only does he have to face a bear that way, he has to face a lion that way. What happened in David's life, actually early in his life, and in his everyday life, he faced some distress. But that distress, he learned later, that distress enlarges his capacity. It makes him more able to do what needs to be done. You know something? You don't have to have a big catastrophe going on in life to be distressed. All you got to do is be alive. You don't have to go looking for it. It comes to find you. It can just be the everyday. I wonder how many times I've been sitting in my office through all these years that I've been in the ministry, and I hear a knock on the door, and it's a mom. And she'll say, "Pastor, could I talk to you for a moment?" I'll say, "Yes, ma'am, come in and sit down." And she'll come in and sit down and go, "Oh, what's wrong? Did someone die?" "No, it's just the kids and the women were potty training. And then my boy got a demerit at school. And it's just the dog ate the neighbor's cat. And it's just Life can pile up on you. Men, wasn't a catastrophe. But you have thrown a tool or two in your time. Yeah. In our everyday responsibilities, they can build up. And the devil knows how to catch us right at the right time. And so even in our everyday responsibilities, those distresses can enlarge us. Gives us a greater capacity. It's just carrying the responsibilities of life. Look, I'll tell you this. You can move into a new house and it can stress you. You can go to a new job and it can stress you. You can go to a new church and you sometimes get a new pastor, and there are just adjustments and distresses, and it can be hard on you. But let me tell you something. When you face those everyday distresses, know this, God's not trying to do something to you. He's trying to do something for you, and He is enlarging your capacity to succeed in life. Amen. David was merely taking care of the sheep, and a lion comes, and a bear comes. What was that? His everyday, just common responsibility, but distress came. Not only was it his everyday obstacles, but maybe David said, "When I was in distress about my sin, God even was enlarging me." You do know, 2 Samuel chapter 11, David got himself in a mess. When he got himself in a mess, he ends up actually setting up a man named Uriah for death. And there was some real problems there. And I know that David's sin got to him. Did you know something? God does not want you to sin. But if you do sin, God can take your sin and He can enlarge you and better you because you made a dumb mistake. You ever heard the old saying, you learn from your mistakes? Well, you can. I'm going to be brilliant. I've made every mistake possible. If I could just learn from all the mistakes. I always do it wrong the first time. That's just the way I am. I'm a knucklehead. But you know something? If we will stop and realize it, God wants none of us to sin, but once we have, He wants to try to squeeze something good out of that. And that's what happened. 2 Samuel 11, I'm not going to read the whole chapter to you, but there was the murder of Uriah. But I believe David learned from that. He learned from it. I think David's sin distressed him, but it expanded his hatred for sin. You know, when you do wrong and you feel all the pressure of it and you're feeling guilty because of it and you messed up and it cost you some money and, hey, maybe you needed a lawyer. Maybe it took you a long time to pay off your dumb move that you did. Can I tell you something? That can give you a respect for doing the right thing the next time. It expands your hatred for sin. Your mistake can expand your hatred for the devil. Be more careful with your life the next time. I'll tell you something that your sin can do for you. You fall into sin, you make a bad mistake, and I'll tell you one good thing that can come out of it. You will learn compassion on other people when they mess up. I've watched some pretty arrogant people in life. Christians that walk around with their nose in the air, and everybody that makes mistakes, I'm better than them, and I would never do that, and cast them into outer darkness, and let's crucify them. And then the arrogant person falls on their face. God comes along and says, maybe next time you'll be a little more compassionate with other people. Let me tell you, if you fall flat on your face, one thing to learn is, you say, well, I'm a pretty good Christian. Every last one of us would be in a gutter if it were not for the mercy and the grace of Almighty God. Be careful getting too arrogant. But what happens? I think David was distressed because of his sin and what he did to Uriah. But I think he grew because of it. What did God do? God enlarged his capacity. But not only that. David said, when I was in distress about my marriage, God was enlarging me. In 2 Samuel chapter 11, that sin of having Uriah killed Cain because he made a mistake with Bathsheba. He was having some marital issues here. And listen, when you are having a tough time in your marriage, and that can become very distressing, or it can wear you out, it can drain you emotionally. Could I just say this to you? When that happens, let it enlarge you. Let it make you a better wife. Let it make you a better husband. Let God take the stresses of marriage and learn from it. Boy, if you didn't do it right and it caused a fuss and you made a mistake, hey, humbly learn from it and let it expand you. Let it make you a better husband. Let it make you a better wife. Hey, let it make you a better parent. Can I tell you, if you and I as parents could learn, and maybe we make some mistakes along the way, there's some things that we could teach our children. And you know what? That is an enlarging of our capacity because of the stress that came to our marriage. You know, David, the Bible says in Psalm 51:12, he came to the Lord. He had made his mistake with Bathsheba. He had killed Uriah, but he comes to the Lord in Psalm 51, verse number 12, and he came to the Lord and said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. David let his sin, David let the stress in his marriage expand him. He grew from it. He didn't let it get him down and keep him down. He let it catapult him to new heights. Now look, you're going to take one of two attitudes about the stresses of life.
You're going to get mad and get worse, or you're going to get glad and get better. Now, pick which one it's going to be. And David finally came to his senses, and he said, I'm not going to let this thing whittle me down to nothing. I'm going to let it build me up and make me strong. He said, the distresses in my life have enlarged me. They've strengthened me. They've empowered me. They've bettered me. They've made me a better man. And that's exactly what God wants those distresses in your life to do. That's the difference of in us saved people and lost people. Lost people's distresses take them to the Bible. Lost people's distresses take them to drugs. Lost people's distresses take them to bitterness and hatred and wrath. Saved people's distresses take them to their knees. Get them to Jesus. Help them to learn. Help them to regain the joy of the Lord. And we will take it, and instead of a stone that smashes our head, it becomes a stepping stone that we step on to get to Jesus Christ, the great rock. You see, I think David faced everyday distresses with the bear and the lion, but it let it make him better. It expanded him. He faced distress when he had Uriah killed. Even his sin, he let that expand him and make him better and more capable. When it came to his marital issue, when he did wrong with Bathsheba, he let that make him a better man. He let that expand him. But not only that, I think David could say, when I was distressed about my children, said, I let that make me a better man. I let that expand me. I let it enlarge me. In 2 Samuel chapter number 15, David had a son by the name of Absalom. And Absalom betrays his dad that was a king. Talk about break his heart. You know, you're the king. You'd like to think that the people nearest you are the ones that would kind of stick with you. And they're the ones that you could count on for loyalty. Absalom stabs his dad in the back. Absalom actually tries to take over the kingdom, and he's disloyal. But you know, David went through that. And don't get the idea that people in the Bible are like Walt Disney characters. David was a real man. David had a broken heart. David's son had become disloyal. So here his son broke his heart. Now folks, there's enough of you in here. There's enough kids. We've got little ones. We've got them in the nursery. All the way to the point when you've got people that are 70 and 80 years of age, we've got children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and they can break our hearts. They can disappoint us. Hey, they can become disloyal. There's so many things that they can do, and it breaks your heart. But can I tell you something? Don't let that destroy you. Let that make you. Learn from it. Grow from it. Let the distress of your children and the struggles they have, let it enlarge you. Let it enlarge you, your capacity for people. Let it enlarge you. Look, you just take, rearing children is a challenge in itself. I understand after having four children why some species eat their young. Man, they can stress you out. You can say to a child, whatever you do, don't do this, and within 5 minutes they're trying it. Yes, sir. Wow. Oh, the stress of it all. But listen, do you know that when those distresses come, God didn't bring those distresses to destroy you. God allows those distresses in your life because those things will make you stronger. They'll make you smarter. They'll make you wiser. They'll make you humbler. Those things can help make you what you ought to be. I will guarantee you, you rear your first child, and there are a lot of distresses. And the second one, there could be a few less. And before long, after three or four, you're saying, now this isn't, I think I got most of this down. Now every one of them are going to throw you a curveball. They're never just exactly alike. But you know, you get worried about that first one. You're up at midnight for weeks and weeks and weeks in a row when you bring them home. By the time you get to the second one, that kid could cry all night if it wants to. Just shove some cotton in its mouth and tell it to be quiet because you're going to get some sleep. You're growing from the distresses. And that's how it works. The distresses, David, and we don't really give David credit. I know David made a lot of mistakes, but let me tell you something about David. David made a mistake, and he fell, but he got right back up, and he said, I'm going to learn from that, and I'm going to keep on going. And he did. Think about this. I would guarantee you, if I ask all of you, what what book of the Bible you've read the most in? What book of the Bible do you run to when you need comfort? What book of the Bible do you go to when you need a little something extra? What book of the Bible do you think is used quite frequently at funerals and at drought distress times? You know which one it is? Psalms.
Yes, sir.
You know who wrote it? The distressed guy. Those distresses had something to do with his ability to comfort other people. And God grew him because of it.
Yes.
So I believe that God had been in a process of enlarging David. He enlarged him through the everyday obstacles of life. He enlarged him even with David's sin. He enlarged him through some marital struggles. He enlarged him as he was rearing his children. But not only that, I think David was able to say, when I was in distress regarding my health, God was trying to enlarge me. You know, health problems in a family can be heavy. And it gets scary. The older you get, the more scary it gets. You know, get this. I think most of you know, David faced the sickness of a child. In 2 Samuel chapter 12, he had a child that was sick, and he begged God for that child's life. He fasted for 7 days. He laid on the ground to pray. Now, I'll tell you what happened. That child did not get better, but I'm going to tell you something. I will guarantee you, when David makes the statement that in my distress he was enlarging me, it had something to do with the health issues in his family that he had to deal with. He allowed that distress to, and you know what it did in his life? It's proven. The Bible says that he prayed, he fasted, he got down on the ground for 7 days and prayed just lying there. Let me tell you something. Illness can cause you to get close to God. Because you want to live. You say, food that we just have to have, we can suddenly do without it to get close to God. Oh my! Humility. Begging God. Pouring your heart out to God. Saying things like, oh God, make me better. I'll serve you. You know, God should have been hearing that when you were well.
Yes, sir.
God should have been hearing that when your wife was well, or your husband was well, or your children were well.
Yes, sir.
But what happened? Somebody got sick. And the distress of life in the Christian should cause the Christian to be expanded because of it. And that health issue, God didn't allow that to make us worse. He allowed that physical worse to make us spiritually better. He didn't allow it to make us small. He allowed it to grow us. He was trying to enlarge us through the distress of a health issue. Then, that child died. Death came to the child. What was God doing? God was expanding David. Now David would believe in heaven like never before. Now David would go to battle and say, if I win, I live. If I lose, I die and go on to heaven. And that's a lot of faith in that. Well, I'll tell you what, can make you a pretty rugged warrior.
Yes, sir.
What did God do? Even that death allowed David's capacity to grovel. And David, God never intended for the death of that child to destroy David, but to make David. God wanted David to believe in heaven, and God wanted David to send as many people to heaven as possible. And I'm not talking about with a sword. I mean, God wanted David to influence as many people as he could. And again, he's the one that wrote, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for thou art with me. Who wrote that? Hey, most all the Psalms were written by David. Or influenced by David at the worst. What happened? David did not allow that sickness or the death of that child to destroy him, but he realized, God is enlarging me. Let me help you with something. I've been through lots of battles in my lifetime. This year, I celebrated my 40th year as a preacher. I started preaching when I was 16. In August, I turned 56. I've been preaching 40 years, been through a lot of battles, seen a lot of things. At first, the distresses, they took me for an emotional ride on a roller coaster that could make you sick at your stomach. I would say to myself, I can't make it. I can't take it. I just want to die. Oh, fooey on all this. Oh, what am I going to do? Now, I still face some that can take me, hit me pretty hard. But I'll tell you something. I began to teach myself when the distress comes at me, I now say right away, well, it looks like God's getting ready to grow me. Now, I don't always smile, but I know my God has my best interest in mind. And if David can say the distresses of life enlarge me, then you and I can say the very same thing. Listen, David could say, when I was in distress about the battles of life, those distresses was God enlarging me. In 1 Samuel chapter 17, we have the famous story of Goliath. Now, can I tell you something? When David was just a lad, and some people make him out to be 12 or 13, I think he's a little older than that when he fights Goliath. But David went out and fought Goliath. Now, for all practical purposes, from what I understand, and the measurements and the scales of that time, Goliath was probably at least 9 foot tall. And maybe probably about 9 foot 9 inches tall. You understand, David fought Goliath. Now, you say he was just so calm, he was so cool. I really don't think that is necessarily the case. I believe David went out to fight Goliath, and just like anybody else, he had some fear. He just didn't let his fear paralyze him. Now, if I went out to fight a Goliath, I might have my sling, and I might walk out there, but if you could listen real carefully, you'd hear my knees going. But I'll tell you this. After David goes through the distress of fighting and defeating a Goliath, the next 5 foot soldier that's an enemy that came along wasn't near as scary to David. What happened? The distress of a Goliath enlarged his capacity as a warrior. And so God brings distresses or allows distresses in his life. What's he doing? You might look at it, what God trying to do to me? I know. What's God trying to do for you? Do you all do realize if you had not gone through some of the stressful things you had, you would not be as strong as what you are today? Yes. You ever met people that just virtually have no strength? You know where a lot of it comes from? They've never had to face hard things. You, as our kids are growing up, if we protect them from every hard thing, they'll turn out to be wimpy.
Yes, sir.
Sometimes they've got to get a boo-boo.
Yes, sir.
Now, we all deal with it different. My kids would get hurt. They'd go run to mom. I'd say, suck it up. You're going to be all right. You're not going to die. Somewhere in between mom coddling them and me saying, don't fall off your bike again. Somewhere halfway in between that, there was a strength that would be developed in that child. What is it? Distress enlarges your capacity for distress. I want to tell you something. They got to face some distress when they're in grade school. You say, why? Junior high is coming. Heavier stress. And they're going to have to face some distress in junior high. You say, why? High school's coming. And they're going to have to face some distress in high school. You say, why? Marriage is coming. And God knows they're going to need help now. You say, why? The mother-in-law's coming. And a boy has to learn the distress of running that lawnmower and mowing the neighbor's yard. You say, why? Because one day they're going to work him 70 hours a week. And he's going to be tired. And he's got to drive home. And he's going to be hungry and tired. And his hands are going to hurt. And his back's going to ache. But he's got to get up and go to work the next day because that's what men do. Where does he learn that? He starts young and he faces a distress and it makes him stronger. And then later on he faces a bigger distress and it makes him stronger. Folks, we're not to become weaker as we grow. We're to become stronger as we grow. That's what the Christian life's all about. And one of the tools that God uses to accomplish that is distress. I'm not saying to anybody, ask for it. I am telling you, when it comes your way, don't think it's all an enemy. It may be God doing something for you, not to you. Hey, David faced the distress of being betrayed, of a disloyalty. 1 Samuel chapter 18, Saul turns on David. Saul becomes jealous to the point that at one point Saul was David's hero. He was his king. Next thing you know, Saul's throwing spears at David, trying to kill him. You know, David had to go through that. You say, why? David's going to be the next king. You better to be able to take pressure if you're going to be a king. It's a little harder than making brownies. David had to go through that. I think David had to fight Goliath. I think David had to face some of the things that David faced. Why? God said, you're going to run a country? Then you're going to have to go through some things and prove yourself. You know, David said, this distress, it made me stronger. In 2 Samuel chapter 2, David's, you know, I think about it, David then became a king. You know that your responsibilities, your spiritual responsibilities, they'll bring distress. Look, bus captain, you run a bus route, you're running a dozen on your bus route, and you're all stressed out at a dozen, don't let that destroy you. If you'll let the stress of a dozen on your bus route make you, you can run two dozen. But you can't run two dozen if you can't handle a dozen. So you take that stress. Hey, Sunday school teacher. You say, I'm a little stressed out, Brother Nash. I got 10 kids in my class. Let me tell you something. You learn to take the stress of it. You grow because of it. You, instead of saying, this is just terrible. It's just terrible. I'm going to quit. No, don't quit. It's obvious. God's preparing you for something bigger. Stay and pray. Don't run.
Amen.
What's God doing? You say, oh, listen, I just never thought it would be this way. It's a spiritual battle. Don't we have an enemy? Doesn't the devil hate us? You think he's going to sit idly by and watch and just let everything go smooth? I'll tell you when things are going well at the church. It's when there's distress. You know every distress this church has been through? Is God preparing you for something big? Take it right.
Amen.
Have the right attitude about it. Let it expand you, strengthen you, empower you. Let it make you say, you know what? I'm honored to be a part of a Sunday school class that the devil is irritated with. I'm honored to be have a part in a bus route, and the devil's mad. We had a flat tire on the way to church and a flat tire on the way home. Hey, it's an honor to think the devil's mad. Look, I realize out there somewhere there's a church, and there's never any distress in it. I'd be afraid of that. Because the devil's saying, I don't need to mess with them. They're not doing anything.
Right.
I want to stop the men with potential. I want to stop the women with potential.
Yes.
I want to stop the bus captains with potential. I want to frustrate those women that have the greatest potential. Those are the ones. But God says, you think you're going to frustrate them. If they'll listen to me, I'm going to make them. You're going to try to frustrate. I'll let the frustration become the energy and the fuel that will expand them. And while you're busy trying to destroy them, I'll take your attempted destruction and make it into something supernatural. And they're going to grow, and they're going to even do more because of it. That's the whole plan. That's the whole plan. You know something? David went through battle after battle after battle in his life. He made mistakes. But I do believe that David let the distresses of life, from the kingly magnitude of distresses, all the way down to being a young man attending to the sheep, and everything halfway in between. Sickness, death, betrayal, fear. He let every one of those make him into what God wanted him to be. Did you know something, folks? You're not going to get out of the distresses of life. I don't care where you run. I don't care where you hide.
Yes.
You're going to face them. Now, you can let them whittle you down to nothing emotionally. You can look at them the way David did. And David said, thou hast enlarged me when I was distressed. Now here, you don't always see it happening while it's happening. Sometimes in the distress, you're just flat out distressed. You ever feel like, I can't make it. I can't take it. I can't do it. And you say, oh God, how could you allow it? I'm not going to make it. I've said that before. Have you ever said that before?
Yeah.
Anybody out there, are you brave enough to admit, have you ever said I can't make it? Huh. You here tonight? Did you make it? Huh. I hate to tell you,
You're probably going to go through another I can't make it situation. And I love it if you could remember, you know, I made it the last time I said I couldn't make it, I'll make it this time. But probably not, because the devil catch you off guard and you go, oh, I can't make it, I can't take it. And you go to sleep that night, you wake up the next morning and say, why did I act that way yesterday? I'm doing so much better. The sun comes up in the morning and all of a sudden you have the strength and you made it. I'm promising you, if you'll just keep going, the distresses will enlarge you. They'll enlarge you. The distresses of life, I think, come because God has something bigger and better for you.
Amen.
Learn from them. Grow from them. Don't get mad at God. Don't get bitter. Don't do that. Look at it and say, wow, my God is going to love me through this and empower me through it. I know that Jesus was perfect. But you understand what Jesus faced, don't you? Everything they did to him, the crucifixion, all of it. I will promise you, he went through a lot of pain and anguish. Hey, remember this? My God. My God. Why hast thou forsaken me? Don't you think there's a little anguish going on right there? But he took it. You know what happened? It enlarged him. He's the only guy that ever self-resurrected. I guess God increased his capacity because he took the pain and the anguish and made him more powerful. If he can grow, he did it. At least he went on to bigger things. Yeah. Folks, God is not trying to do something to you. God is hoping that you allow him to do something for you. Become strong because of the distresses. Don't become weak. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. We come into church, and when we come, we try to get that smile on our face. People don't know what you're going through in your marriage. People don't know what you're going through with one of the kids. People don't know what you're going through at work. People don't know what you're going through financially. Not everybody knows what you're going through. Mom's sick. Dad's sick. Oh, my. Things have come upon you you never dreamed. There's somebody probably under the sound of my voice. There's an illness that's creeping up on you and it's scaring you to death. And you're saying, my, I've not said anything to anybody, but I'm scared and I'm hurt and I'm wore down a little bit. Well, I come to you tonight on behalf of my Lord. And my Lord says, look, I'm not trying to do something to you. I'm trying to do something for you. As David did, let the distress grow you. Let it enlarge your capacity for love and goodness and faith and kindness. Let it enlarge you. Who here tonight would say, Brother Owens, in this sermon, God has encouraged me in His own way. Who could raise your hand and say, God has spoken to my heart. He's encouraged me in a very unique way through this sermon. You may put those hands down in a moment. I'll have the instrumentalists begin to play. We'll stand and we'll have an altar call. It may be that you ought to leave your seat and come down here, get on your knees. And you say, well, what would I say? Come down here and say, God, I want you to enlarge me as I face these difficulties. I see you're not trying to hurt me. I see you love me. Make me stronger because of these difficult things that I must face. The instrumentalists begin to play at this point.